Okay. Sarah Imenu's funeral is completed, and Avraham Avinu has a mission now. What's the mission? We have to find a wife for Yitzchak. We have to make sure that the next generation continues on. And so he calls his trusted servant Eliezer. Who exactly is Eliezer is a really good question. We'll talk about that tonight in Eretz Hashem. And he makes him take an oath. He says, no baloney. You're going to go to this place, my birthplace. You're going to find my own family. You're not going to take a woman from here. My son, you're not going to bring over there. He's going to bring the bride over here. Eliezer makes this oath, promises. And the third reading opens with Eliezer about to head out. Chapter 24, verse 10. The Eved, the servant, takes 10 cows. Pardon me, 10 cows, 10 camels. Migmale Adonav, from the camels of his master. Vayelech, and he sets out. V'chol tov Adonav b'yodai, all the goodness of his master he has in hand. Vayokom, he rises up. Vayelech el Aram Naharayim, he goes to the area called Aram Naharayim, el Ir Nochar, to the city of Nochar. So the first question that Rashi is going to deal with is, he took camels. Which camels did he take? 10 camels. Very important for us to know how many camels he had. And which camels did he take? Do I care which camels he took? Well, Torah wants me to know which camels. It was 10 camels, migmale adoinov, 10 camels from the camels of his master. So what, Avraham Avinu's camels had a little yarmulke? He gave them a bris milah. What made these camels Avraham's camels? What did Avram got camels look like? So Rashi says, Nikot im hoyu. It was obvious that these camels belonged to Avraham. They were set aside. They were distinct misha'or gemalim from the other camels. In what way? Shahoyu yetzim zmumim. Because they would go out muzzled. And the reason that Avraham Avinu would muzzle his camels, mipnei hagozel. Because he didn't want that his animals should commit an act of theft. Shalayiru besadis achedim, that the camels should not graze in other people's fields. So if you've ever been on one of those camel rides in Israel, they have these huge necks, and in a moment that neck can go flying. It can go, it's like out of control. The camel's a scary thing. So if the camel's not going to be muzzled, they could be walking by anywhere, and suddenly the camel has a fetish for somebody else's grass, somebody else's tree. And in a moment, the neck jumps forward, and the camel does what the camel does. So Avraham Avinu took care to make sure that would never happen. And this way, the camels were known to be Avraham's camels. People take a look at those camels and go, oh, those are Avraham camels, because nobody else bothered to muzzle the camels. If somebody else's camel ate something he couldn't eat, so what do you want from me? It's a camel. Camels do camel stuff. Like, really, could you blame me? But Avraham shows us you have to take the precaution, and you cannot let stuff happen. So what does that mean? All the goodness of his master in hand. What, they have some kind of magical Mary Poppins hand? He fit everything Avram owned into a hand? What does the Torah mean? So Rashi tells us, Shtar Matono. There was a document drawn up in which Avram Avinu had gifted everything, Kosav li Yitzchak. Avram Avinu had written this document to Yitzchak. And in that document, everything now was owned by Yitzchak. And this was Al Kol Asher Loi, a document that covered all of his residuals. And the reason he did this was Kedei Sheyikpitzu L'Shloach Loi Bitam. So Yitzchak would be a very eligible bachelor. Yitzchak would come, say, I have a shidduch. What's your shidduch? Yitzchak. All right, what's so special about him? Oh, he's got everything Avram has is his already. Oh, in that case, that's really special shidduch. Anyway, the bottom line is Avram did not leave any stones unturned, and he took every possible precaution. It wouldn't be enough for him to say that he was the only son, the ultimate heir. No, it was going to be enough. The Eved Eliezer shows up with documentation, clear documentation that indicates Yitzchak not will be the owner, but is the owner. So if you have a really good shidduch, and it happens to be the boy's got a couple of $1 million too, it doesn't hurt. And this way, hopefully, he figured everything would go as it was supposed to. Now it says, v'chol tuv, all of the goodness. So the Sepharno says it a little bit differently. Rashi interprets it, v'chol tuv b'yodai, how could it be in hand? Only it could be in hand if it had a document. But the Sepharno says that he loaded these camels up. And he didn't even have to ask permission, because it was so clear that Avraham had given him an open hand, a free hand. Do whatever you have to do. Make sure you succeed. Mm-hmm. So he loaded these camels up with gold and silver, and they arrived like with all the wealth of Yitzchak. And that's the meaning of Choltav Biyadeh. Biyadeh means the permission. Like people say, it's in hand, or I have a free hand. That's how the Sefarno interprets it. Rashi says, literally, Biyadeh means in hand. In hand, he actually had it. Okay? Incidentally, Ramban also kind of follows that path. He says it was loaded camels.
But why 10 camels?
Why 10 camels? What do you mean? You have to have a minion. I don't know why 10 camels. The point was, he took a lot of camels, and that's why Ramban and Sephardim make a lot of sense, because he came with a show of force. He showed up. He didn't come with a solitary camel. He came with servants. He came with gold. He came with silver. This looked really good. Anybody took a look and said, wow, what's this guy? Look what he's got coming with him. And this is just a servant coming in an entourage just to be able to find the Shidduch for Yitzchak. Can you imagine who Yitzchak is? It's called creating the aura. All right, you got 10 camels. And Eliezer sets out. In verse 10, he sets out. And in verse 10, he arrives. That's pretty fast. We'll talk about that later. Vayavre chagmale michutz liir. He has the camels kneel outside the city, el be'er hamoyim, outside the well, le'et erev, towards evening, le'et tzeit hasho'avot, at the time when those who would draw water would be heading out. Now, this is no accident. Eliezer is doing this in a very, very carefully choreographed fashion. Vayavre chagmalim. Rashi says, what does that mean? Camels don't kneel. It means hirbitzam. He set him down. He had the camels. Ever see how the camel goes down? It's like a scissor lift. This big, tall camel goes up. Plots it straight down. So the camels scissor down. And now he's got the camels all sitting around the well at the time when people are coming out to the well. And at this point, he's got everything set. The stage, the scene is set. The camels are crouched. The well is occupied. And he begins to pray. What does he pray for? Says Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayoyimar, he said, Hashem Elokei Adoni Avram, the Lord God, master of my master Avram, Hakre no lefane hayoyim, make it all happen before me today. Prepare it all for me today. Arrange it. I say, Chesed Adoni Avram, not for me. I'm just Eliezer. But do it in behalf of the merit of my master Avram. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean, hakre no? So Unkula says, hakre no means now. I want it now. That's what he asked for. According to the Targum Yonason, hakre no, prepare, means prepare the appropriate one. A woman who's deserving, who's appropriate. Mm-hmm. That's what the hakre goes on. The Kli Yakar says that arrange it, that the woman who happens to be going now, out, it should be somebody who's like a happenstance. So it should be unusual. Not a young lady who always goes out to the well. Somebody who suddenly goes out today. Happens. And incidentally, the Medrash Seichel Tov says that Rivka had never gone out to the well. This is the first time, and really the only time, she ever went out to the well. Why not? The Malbim explains. Very simple. She was the daughter of very wealthy people. And they would send a servant. Rivka herself would never go. But for some strange reason, today was the only day that Rivka went, and that's exactly, says the Kli Yakar, what Eliezer was praying for. Why? Why do you have to pray hakre no? What do you care if it's the only time she went? Eliezer wanted the case to be ironclad, so that when he'll come and say, listen, I want you to send this girl with me, because I can't bring Yitzchak. I got to take her back home to Yitzchak. They shouldn't say, well, maybe it's not the right thing. No. He showed all these miracles. Did you see? Just happened to be. She just happened to go out of all evenings. The one evening was tonight. Did you notice that? Did you notice everything just happened to line up? And they would say, wow, this is amazing. It must be a miracle. Okay, go ahead. That's what Eliezer is hoping for. So Eliezer is already two steps ahead in this chess game. He's asking for things to be so exceptional, so remarkable, that nobody will be able to argue. That's why he says, Hakrino. And the Alshech, he spends time explaining this. He says Eliezer sensed and knew there was going to be challenges. He was right. He was a smart guy. There was challenges. And just send away a young girl. Who is the chassan? Who's the family? We don't really know them. It's your family. Yeah, thank you very much. We haven't had any contact. You have a picture? You have a Facebook profile? Like, how do we know this is the right thing? So that's why Eliezer wants all these miracles, everything just to fit into place, so there should be no questions whatsoever. And that's how he davens. That's his davening. And he says, "Hine anochi nitzav alein hamoyim. Here I am. I'm at the well. Uvnois ansheh yer yetzis lishav moyim. And I'm waiting. You know, the young girls are going out because that was the custom, the convention of the time. That's to go out. The boys would go out to the field. They would deal with the sheep, the goats. Maybe work the fields. And the young girls would go out to get the water. V'hoya, he says, and so it should be. Hanara asher oymar aleha, that this young girl who happens to come out tonight, of all nights, and I say to her, Hati no chadech, can you tip your jug a little? V'eshtei, and maybe give me something to drink. V'amra, and she'll say, drink. But you know what? It's not just you. V'gam gmalecha ashke, I'll give the camels to drink too. That's why he took 10 camels. He set up this whole gaggle of camels. There's a whole bunch of camels there. And he's not going to ask about the camels. He's just going to ask for himself. And she will respond immediately and say, of course, you should drink. Let the camels drink too. Oysa hechacht. This will be the proof. Hechacht ala avdechal Yitzchak. This will be the proof that she is the right one for Yitzchak. Kindness, that's the sign. Uvo eida. And with this I will know, ki hasisa chesed im adoni, you have done kindness with my master. What does it mean, hechachta? Hechachta, Rashi says, that the term hechachta means, re'uyo hi loy, she is appropriate for him. Why? Shetehei gemelas chasadim, because this proves to me that she is kind, that she does good. Vukedayi, she is suitable. Likones beveseish l'Avram, to enter into the household of Avram. V'loshon hechacht, or hechachta, means berarta. You have clearly made a clear sign. You have shown this without any doubt that this is the one. Clear. This is it. And that's what I'm asking for. The Sepharno says this would be in hechachta means like when a person sometimes gives like rebuke or gives musar, gives like a ethical rebuke to somebody. So this is the kind of idea. He said, this would be the proof. This is the right person. This is the right characteristic that belongs to somebody from the house of Adam Avinu.
Rashi goes even beyond. He said the proof that Hashem approved.
Hashem, okay, correct? Beirarta, okay. Says Rashi. Beirarta means you have clearly shown. It's not a stamp of approval. It's when a person has to choose something. You have to select. What do we call that on Shabbat? Selection, which is, by the way, not permitted on Shabbat? Borer. The same idea here. Berarta. You have selected. You have chosen. You have made this distinct. That's Eliezer's prayer. And now the Torah tells us something absolutely stupendous. Vayehi hu terem kilu ledaber. The man has not yet finished speaking. He didn't yet finish his davening, his prayer. Vehine Rivka Yetzes, and suddenly Rivka's on the way out. He didn't even finish davening. Already Rivka's on the way out. This is the Rivka, Asher Yuldu L'Bsuel Ben Milka, who was born to Besuel, the son of Milka, who was the wife of Nocher, as the Mefarshim point out, not a Pilegesh, not a half marriage. No, this was a proper, full daughter of Milka, Eshes Nocher, Achi Avraham, who is the brother of Avraham, the Chado Al Shichmo, and her jug is on her shoulder. All set. All ready. And guess what happens? It's exactly what happens, that the Eliezer sees this young girl. And he is taken by her appearance. And he immediately says to her, can I have a drink? And exactly as he said, she says, you should drink. Your camel should drink. Everybody should drink. And she shares that she's kind. Unbelievable. He didn't even finish. He didn't finish his prayer. And already he's got answered. So now let's take a look. The Rebbe will tell us that if you look in the Medrash, you'll see this unique response, this rapid response to Avram's prayer, to Eliezer's prayer, the servant of Avram, is actually very rare. It's very special. In fact, it only happens thrice in all of biblical history. There are only three people who get rapid responses. Before they finish speaking, the answer is already here. Only three people. Page Reish Ayin Gimel. Says the Medrash to Bereishis Rabbah, Shalosha Heim Nenu B'mayin Epiyem. There were three who received rapid response. They were still speaking, and already the answer came. Who were those three people? Eliezer, Avdei Shel Avram. Eliezer, the servant of Avram. Umeisha, Moshe Rabbeinu, Ushlomo, the Melech, King Solomon. Eliezer, how do we know this? Says the pasuk here in this week's parsha, which we just read, Vayehi hu terem kilo ledaber. He hasn't yet finished speaking, he hasn't yet concluded, and already, Vehine Rivka Yoitzeis, Rivka's already going out, etc. Shlomo, how do we know about Shlomo Melech? Because it is written, Vayehi. Pardon me. That's what we got to Rivka. Meish, I don't know about Meish Rabbeinu. It says, Vehiki chaloi siladab, it is called Advarim Elo, and Meish Rabbeinu is praying. And this is the time when he's faced with a terrible mutiny led by Korach. And it's as if the Jewish people are going to fracture, and the whole future lies in balance, and Meish Rabbeinu is praying with all his might, and all of a sudden, he hasn't yet finished davening, and the earth opens up and swallows the people of Korach. But he didn't finish praying even. Finally, it says, Shlomo, King Solomon, just as Shlomo was finished praying for the Shechina to come down after the completion of the first base of Migdash, and v'ha'esh yardom in Hashamayim, the fire descended. So the Rebbe analyzes this very unusual medrash that documents the trilogy of rapid responses, which are unique from all the prayers, and there are lots of prayers in the Bible. Lots of wonderful men and women prayed, but the only three individuals who ever prayed and received immediate answers were these three, says the Medrash. Eliezer, Moshe, and Shlomo. Tzarech Bir, says the Rebbe, B'meis yachto shleisha elu. What was so special about these three people's prayers? Shadavke heim, that of all the hundreds of prophets and kings and unique leaders and special righteous individuals, heim zachu, they were the ones who merited shetfilosam ti'onem miyod, that their prayers, and only their prayers, should be answered instantaneously, immediately. Why? What was so unique? Now, Eliezer is a great guy, and he's very dedicated to Avram, but is he greater than Yehoshua? Is he greater than David HaMelech? Was he greater than all of the Nevi'im who led the Jewish people? Greater than Yitzchak and Yaakov? Greater than Avram? Avram Avinu's prayers are never answered like this. Avram prays, he never gets rapid response. Eliezer gets it. Koshaloymar, it is more than obvious. Very, very difficult. It's very difficult to say that these are the three most prayerful people in the whole world. The greatest, you know, davener of all time, the most virtuous man of all time, Eliezer, without a question. Look, very hard to say that. Based on what? He wasn't even Jewish. He's very, very dedicated, very loyal servant, plays an important role, but the most unique person. It's certain that there were many other tzaddikim, very righteous people, who were at least not lower on the spiritual virtue or vantage point, didn't lack in spiritual development and character, and were somehow inferior to Eliezer. How could you compare Moshe Rabbeinu to Eliezer Eved Avraham? I mean, really? Or Shlomo HaMelech is called Yedid Hashem? Therefore, the Rebbe says, Yesh Lafarish, Shahamayla, that the virtue which earned and caused this extraordinary rapid response has to be not in the prayers being offered, meaning the people who offered those prayers, but rather B'toichan Filosom, in the content of the prayer. It has to be not the character of the people, but the content of the prayer that made all the difference. B'sholosh HaTfilos HaLolo, in the content of these three prayers, there has to be some kind of common denominator that somehow links and weaves these three two together, that would catalyze this rapid response, that the prayer should be answered instantaneously. Okay. In order to understand this, the Rebbe says, first we're going to talk about not so much the content of prayer, but rather the character of people. Let's talk about the character of somebody whose prayers would be answered. The idea of prayers being answered altogether. And then once we flesh that in, then we can move on to understand the unique content of these specific prayers. Hatam lekach sheyeshnam tefilas she'eino ne'anos miyad. Why is it that some prayers are answered immediately and some aren't? What's the difference between a prayer that gets answered and a prayer that doesn't? Well, this is going to sound almost like camp, but it's very basic. It depends on the distance. Mitzad Amerchak. It depends how far. Kavi Yochel, as if. Ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'odim HaMespalel. How much of a distance? You ever hear the joke? It's a local call. It's a long distance call. The closer you are, the quicker your answer. Omnam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eine Ala Tfilo. Indeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Almighty God answers prayers. It's a basic cornerstone of our belief. Memales Ba'akoshes HaMespalel. Hashem does respond to requests that are offered. Avol, Achadvan Boyim Ledepoil, until it actually results in concrete fashion, until it brings about literal, actual results. Ba'ilomazeh, Yitochen Merchak Shozman. There's an elapsing of time. It takes time. Your prayer has to get processed. And then it's given approved. When it's processed and approved, then the prayer gets responded to. And this would all be Neveya. From the distance, so to speak, that it's got to go from the person who's praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who answers the prayers. Now, that's an interesting thing to say. Is there any basis for that? So the Rebbe says, actually, there is a very strong basis for it. And it comes from the words of none other than Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon HaSfaradi, Rambam, Maimonides. Maimonides writes in the 7th chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha 7, quote, Kama me'ula ma'ilas ha'tshuva. How wondrous, how virtuous is the power of tshuva, of return and repentance. Emesh, yesterday, meaning prior to the tshuva, ha'yamuvdul ma'ashem alikei Yisrael. This individual, by dint of his or her sins, was distanced, separated from Hashem, the God of Israel. And what does it mean to be distant or separate from the God of Israel? The Rambam says, I'll tell you what it means. It means tzoyek, they cry out, and they receive no response. The hayoyim, but today, meaning now, because tshuva has been done, who mudbak, this person is now cleaves b'shchina unto the shchina. And what does that mean, that one cleaves, that one experiences communion with the presence of God? Says Rambam, you know what it means? Soyek b'nena miyad. He cries, and he's answered immediately. Shekein hadvarim tluyim ze beze. The Rambam is telling us that the response of prayer has everything to do with the relationship of the one offering the prayer. If the person who prays is close to Hashem, then the response is swift. If the person who prays is distant from Hashem, then they're not going to get a response. So if a person sins, the only thing that can be a separation, a barrier between us, between God, is sin. The only barrier, because God is everywhere. It says, if your prayers will be a barrier, your prayers are the only thing that can separate you. So the distance you put between us, meaning us and God, the distance is the inappropriateness. The bad things we do puts a distance between us and Hashem. And what does distance between us and Hashem translate into? Unanswered prayers. You have a question.
Sometimes a person doesn't know how to pray, is in a situation, and for the first time he prays, he's not close. He doesn't even know how to pray, but God answers him.
So, I mean, like you're saying that a person could pray for the first time and God answers him. First of all, prayer is not about being a professional praying mantis or something. You know, you have to know how to daven. You went to davening school, learn how to daven per se. But if somebody davens with wholehearted sincerity, Hashem will answer him, which is, by the way, a form of tshuva in and of itself. And it could be somebody because of whatever level they are, that the fact that they daven wholeheartedly already is meaningful. But as like a bumper sticker says, staying in bed on Shabbos morning and screaming, oh my God, does not constitute prayer. you have to pray. You have to believe Hashem is listening to you and call out to Hashem, like, right? So the Rambam says that distance between us and Hashem translates into prayerful response, quick or slow. And he says, when you're mudbak b'shchina, when you're cleaving onto the shchina, so then, unena takeif, then you can answer right away. Why? Because there is no distance. Distance and response go hand in hand, he says. And so, Hashem Shadavar, now the Rebbe is going to export it from the business of the person who davens and the virtue of the person who davening. The Rebbe is going to import it into the content of prayer. So initially we talked about the character of the person who's praying, and now we're going to talk about the idea of the content of the prayer being offered. So Chashem Shadavar Benigel Adam Amaspal, just like it's about the person who's davening. Kishahumud bak b'shechina, when the person is cleaving close to the Shechina, says the Rambam unene miyat. So the same thing is Kein Adavar Benigel Teichen Atfilah. The same thing would also apply to the content of prayer. If the prayer is about cleaving, communion, oneness with God, that prayer is going to be answered lalei hefsek zman, without any kind of interruption. This suggests that it wasn't the character of these three individuals, but the content of their prayer. What was so unique about the content of their prayer? What was so unique about these three prayers? So let's start from we'll go backwards. Tefillat Shlomo. What was so special about the prayers of King Solomon? What was he davening for? He was davening for Ashras HaShechina beBeis HaMikdash. He asked for nothing less than the Shechina, God's presence in the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, a place that would be me'uchad, a place that would be seamlessly reflective of the presence of God. It would manifest God's presence in an overt and lucid fashion. Until so much time that the place itself would lose its physicality. It would no longer have the limitations that the physical space has. It would transcend space. And as it says, as our sages tell us, that the place of the Aron was not measured. It didn't fit into any particular measure. So that's the prayer of Shlomo HaMelech. He's asking for nothing less than the actualization of Hashem's presence, so much so that the actual physical location sheds its physicality. Then there's Tfilas Moshe. And that prayer was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yechiyach Hashem should prove that Moshe Hu Navi Emes, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the prophet of truth. As he says, quote, "Bezois teidun ki Hashem shlochani." With this will be known that the Lord God has sent me. Last is kol ha'maisim el to do all these things. In other words, what is prophecy? What is the concept of Hashem speaking to a human being? It means that the Navi becomes in a state of communion and oneness with Hashem to the point that God speaks through the person of the Navi. That the Navi becomes a seamless mechanism through which Hashem is communicating. As we have the expression about Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Shechina is speaking through his voice box. That the Navi's heart, mind, and soul becomes totally transparent. And so that godliness is able to diffuse and filter through the person of the Navi. So just like we could say it in space, the concept of a space that becomes seamlessly bonded to God, a place that becomes transparent with the presence of Hashem, is diffused through this space, and it's clear that this is the place of Hashem's presence. The same thing happens in a Navi. The person of a Navi, that the Navi would become like that space, that's how it would be with regard to the Navi. Actually, the Ran, Rabbeinu Nissen, says in the Drash Zion, he says that just like the Beis HaMikdash is a place where somebody else could pick up prophecy if they were suitable for prophecy, he says, being in the presence of a tzaddik, if you're suitable for revelational prophecy, being in the revelation, the place of a tzaddik, would also do the same thing. It's like today you have a cell phone tower, but if you're in a good cell phone tower, good reception, you get everything. What if you're not in a good cell phone tower? If you're next to a hotspot, if you're next to another iPhone that's connected, another device that's connected, you can collect through that device. So either there's a physical Beis HaMikdash in space, or there's the person of a Beis HaMikdash. An individual who's like a mini Beis HaMikdash, that's a Navi. And now we have the prayer of Eliezer. What was the prayer of Eliezer? With regard to the inordinate amount of time spent on the Shidduch of Eliezer, and there's a lot of time spent in the Torah, a lot of ink spilled on this. The explanation that's brought down in Chassidus, my Maamarim of the Alter Rebbe, the Mittler Rebbe, and forward, is that the marriage of Yitzchak and Rivka are paradigmatic of the union between Hashem and the Jewish people. It's a forerunner of Matan Torah, and the giving of the Torah is metaphorized as the chuppah, the marriage canopy between us and God. Yitzchak and Rivka are the forerunner of this. This is the first Jewish wedding. A Jewish wedding is a big deal. It's such a big deal that we make a whole simcha out of it. And why do we make it such a holy moment? Why is it a holy moment? It's a holy moment like Hashem giving the Torah. It represents the union of heaven and earth. Nothing short of that. And since this is the first shidduch ever in history, the first Jewish marriage being discussed, we meet Avram when he's already married for decades. But this is the first Jewish marriage. So that's what this is all about. This is about the idea of, like Matan Torah, the fusing of heaven and earth. And so the Rebbe says, all three prayers have the same common denominator. What's the prayer about? It's about actualizing heaven on earth. It's about the seamless presence of God in our reality. And that's why they were answered instantaneously. Hashem shows Shlomo HaMelech actualizes the Shechina immediately. The fire is down. Moshe Rabbeinu has to prove that he is a prophet and God speaks through him. The ground opens up. And lastly, Eliezer, through his prayer for the Shidduch to bring about the union of Yitzchak and Rivka, is bringing the forerunner for the Shechina right here for God's presence on earth. And that's why these prayers, of all the prayers offered over time, brought about the rapid response, Hashem's immediate answer. May it happen in our time.